want to welcome you to our second noon session on prayer, the 2024 Holy Week Revival. Certainly want to welcome those watching or listening online. And in previous years, we've learned what prayer is, how to pray, the various types of prayer, and how to pray more effectively, and how to get better results when we pray. And I mentioned yesterday that if someone is new to prayer, or if you're in a place in your life where maybe you didn't hear much of the word and you're just reevaluating, I would highly encourage you in the cafe to get Pastor's Confession Booklet and then also the Book of Prayer. And again, if you look through those, you'll say, well, it's just a lot of scripture. It's just a lot of scripture personalized, but that's what has power when we pray. And pray when we pray regarding our family, our finances, our health, that's what has power. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather together to hear your word. We thank you for moving mightily in our midst. We thank you in these noon services and in the evening services. We thank you for the answers we need, the wisdom we need. We thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you for his presence and his power. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for stretching forth your hand to heal and to meet needs and do wonders in our midst. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, where are we headed today and Wednesday and Thursday? Paul, it's all right. I made sure mine was silenced. Amen. So, got a phone, make sure and silence it. I understand someone's in the medical profession or first responder. We understand that. Where are we headed today and Wednesday and Thursday? Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man that he had trained for ministry, and Paul wrote, "Fan into flame the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands." The Bible says that God gives gifts unto men. James writes that every good and perfect gift is from above. You know, there are believers and they're of the mindset that serving God, living for God, God's going to do negative things and God's going to do bad things. James writes, every good and perfect gift is from above, from our Heavenly Father who does not change. Amen. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And God gives gifts unto men. You know, one of our gifts that was paid for is our salvation. That's what Easter is all about, what Jesus did on our behalf. Our salvation is a gift. Another gift is the baptism of the Spirit or the fullness of the Spirit. We're born again, we're born of the Spirit, we're sealed with the Spirit, but there is another gift, and that is the baptism or fullness of the Spirit. And with that gift, we receive the ability to pray in the Spirit, to pray in the tongues, not of men, but of angels, as the Holy Spirit enables us. That is a gift. And that is one part of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives through us, but that is not the sum total of all that the Holy Spirit does or wants to do through our lives. God gives gifts unto men. Another type of gift are the callings of God, which the Bible says are without repentance, the calling of God to full-time ministry, and the anointing for that. And that's what Paul referred to when he wrote to Timothy. He said, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. A King James says, stir up, which means we have the ability to focus on what we want to focus on. We have the ability to meditate on what we want to meditate on, to pursue and to draw near to what we want to draw near to. Jesus said, if we ask, we will receive. If we'll seek, we'll find. If we'll knock, the door will be opened. And sometimes our attitude is, well, why won't God do this or that? Well, why haven't we pressed in the way we should? Fan into flame. God gives gifts unto men. And another type of gift that comes from our Heavenly Father is the good and the godly and the righteous desires that God has placed within our hearts. And I know there are young people, and so if the Lord tarries, God has a divine plan and purpose for your life, and God has birthed by His Spirit certain things within you, things to do, things to accomplish, things to be, things to do in your life with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given you. And I know that there are those in our midst that were older. I count myself among those that are older. But there are dreams and desires, and as long as they're good and they're godly and they're righteous, they're from God. Those things have been put within us. But the reality is that over time, some things seem slow in coming to pass. And today, tomorrow, we'll get to Abraham. Abraham had a promise, but the promise seemed slow in coming to pass. And so the reality is that because there are things that seem slow coming to pass, we let go of those things. We set them aside. We give up. Or as pastor's been dealing with, we assume, maybe that's not God's will. Maybe that's God's will for somebody else, but that's not God's will for me. See, we let go of those things. We let go of the dreams and desires and the things that God has put within us from birth that He wants us to have. That are they're a part of our calling, our purpose, our destiny in this life, in this world, and we let go of them. Those things are a gift. And we can fan into flame those things too. We can stir up those things too. And one of the ways that happens is as we again press in, and as we again seek to be led by the Spirit of God in prayer, and in our time in the Word, and in prayer. You know, I see some of you young people driving and parking out there. God bless. Make sure and park in the student parking. Amen. But when you drive a car, there is an amen back there. When you drive a car that's out of alignment, it doesn't matter how nice the car is. It's terrible. Nothing feels right. It's a rough, terrible ride. Well, see, when we don't live the Christian life by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, praying by the Spirit, we're out of alignment. And inevitably, we let go of things that God wants to do in our lives. And we let go of things that God wants us to have. And so we have to, again, fan that into flame. We have to, again, stir that up. See, if you spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer being led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you let go of that. He's going to remind you, and he's going to press you, and he's going to give you instructions, steps of obedience to take you down the road to all that God has for you. And yes, there are dreams and desires that are, as long as they're good and godly and they're righteous, that's fine, in line with his will, but there is also the perfect will of God. And how do we enter into that? How do we live that out? It's by being led by the Spirit and living by the Spirit and praying by the Spirit. So we've got to get in sync with the Spirit of God. We've got to get into alignment with the Spirit of God. And I believe that as Pastor has rehearsed, that if we're living that way, there's going to be answered prayer. There's going to be testimonies. There are going to be things that we can say God has done and God is doing. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We see that in John 14. And the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. Yesterday I gave you Romans 8, beginning in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what. Could also say we do not know who. Sometimes, even despite all we know and all the church we've had and all of our knowledge, we may even be uncertain of how to pray, or we need help finding the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will help us in that. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit, He helps us. And one of the ways that He helps us is by challenging us to lift up our eyes and to believe God for His best. There are things that we have in mind, and there are things that we want, but you know what's on my heart today and Wednesday and Thursday is what God wants to do in our lives is more wonderful than anything we can imagine. And that's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 20, that He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. The Holy Spirit helps us and challenges us to lift up our eyes. And the reality is that the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. Now, tell your neighbor, say, don't get weird. Tell your other neighbor, say, don't get weird. You know, you could ask Jessica, I really struggled with this week because, you know, where we finished last year and, you know, where we're at, things that are going on, I might have it in my mind to do this or that to cover this or that. But the more I prayed about this week, the more the Lord led me down this road. And, well, Lord, I don't really want to go down this road because we're full gospel and people can get weird. Now tell your neighbor again, say, don't get weird. Tell your other neighbor, say, don't get weird. And a biblical example is Joseph. The Lord dealt with Joseph in dreams, but Joseph was not, and when I say Joseph, the Joseph of the New Testament, Joseph was not a born-again man. Joseph did not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, we're born again and we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we're, every day of our lives, we're to be led by His still, small voice. But all of that said does not change the fact that the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. Now, what I want you to have in mind is when I say vision, the vision that God has for your life, the picture that God has for your life, the painting, the portrait that God has for your life. And see, what happens in our lives is we get so bogged down with the junk of this world. We're living that life pastor's talking about where we got this circumstance and we got that circumstance and it's Tuesday and we're just trying to make it to Wednesday. And in all of that we forget about the big picture. We forget about the vision that God has for our lives. We forget about our divine purpose and our divine assignment. And again, if we'll sync up and get back into alignment with the Holy Spirit, He will help rekindle that in our lives. On the day of Pentecost, Peter declared what Joel had prophesied in the Old Testament. This is Joel 2, beginning in verse 28. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And again, people believe all kinds of ridiculous things. You know, well, that was then, and this is now. Well, you keep reading on in Acts chapter 2, Peter said that this promise is for you and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So if you're born again, our Heavenly Father wants you to walk with the Spirit, and He wants you to live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and pray by the Spirit of God. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. And if we will cooperate and be led, the Holy Spirit will help us give birth not only to our God-given dreams and desires, but also to what God wants to do in our lives and what He wants to do through us, which is His perfect will. And again, there are things that I may want or I may need or I may desire, and it's fine as long as it's good, godly, and righteous and in line with the Word. But there is a place beyond that, and that is the place of consecration and the place of commitment, and it is, Lord, I lay my life down upon Your altar. What would You have me do? And what is Your purpose? And what is Your destiny? And what is Your assignment for me? And I'm telling you that even if you're saying, well, there's this need or there's this thing I'm believing God for, that's fine, that's wonderful, and God wants to do it in your life. But He doesn't just want to do that. He wants to do far beyond that, more than you can imagine. That is the God that we serve. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. The King James says void. And the truth is that our Heavenly Father is good, so He would not create anything formless and void. Don't have time to deal with that. And so if you're like really curious, well, you need to get a Dake Study Bible and start doing some study. You young people, that's what you get to 11th grade and do God's Plan for Man with Aaron Wood. That's what that class is for. Don't have time to deal with that. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Amplified Bible says the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And I think one of the greatest messages that has ever been preached at Faith Christian Center is Pastor's most recent Power Lunch message, Mind Games. You know, yes, the mouth is a battle, but so is the mind. And this is all interconnected. What are we thinking about? What are we meditating upon? When we go to sleep, when we lay in bed at night, what are we thinking about? And what are we meditating on? What are we dreaming about? What are we brooding over? What are we incubating in our lives? What are we giving birth to? And the reality is that in the lives of most of God's people, it is carnal and it is fleshly. Or as Pastor dealt with last night, it is the picture, the portrait, not that God has painted, but that Satan has painted. You're a failure. You're not going to make it. There's this need. There's this sickness. There's this difficulty. And so, of course, we think about, we meditate on, we dream about failure. And what do we give birth to? Failure. And so we've got to sync up with the Holy Spirit. And we've got to get into alignment with the Holy Spirit of God. And if we will cooperate and be led, the Holy Spirit will help us give birth not only to our God-given dreams and desires, but also what our wonderful Heavenly Father wants to do in our lives, His perfect will. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our time in the Word and our time in prayer. And one of the ways that He helps us is by painting a picture, a vision, a portrait of what God wants to do in our lives and what God wants to do through us. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, and this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, but it also tells us about His Spirit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. See, when you're born again, you're born, that miracle that happens within you, it happens by the Holy Spirit. Paul says that we're born of the Spirit, and we're sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit of God bears witness that we belong to the family of God. And I love how the New Testament calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Paul says that the same Spirit that indwelled him, that raised him from the dead, it indwells us. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 11, verse 2, he is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of understanding. Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of counsel. If we don't know what to do, well, we haven't been spending time in the Word. And if we don't know what to do, we haven't been spending time in the Word and in prayer. And if we don't know what to do in any situation of life, we're not living by the Spirit. We're not being led by the Spirit because He is the Spirit of counsel. And He is also the Spirit of power, the power of God. Isaiah 11, verse 2, He is the Spirit of knowledge, and He is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You know, we saw yesterday in John 14 and John 16 that Jesus Himself said that one of the things the Holy Spirit would do is that He would convict. And so when you have believers today that say, well, you know, that's not for believers, that's only for sinners, there's no conviction in my life, they're not walking with the Holy Spirit. He convicts. And we see here in Isaiah that He is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this is why we ought to be sensitive to not grieving Him. And as I dealt with yesterday, we need to be sensitive to removing from our lives anything that is displeasing to Him and anything that is a hindrance. And yes, that could be some sin, but it could also be something that, as I said, Paul gives us the language for this, it's permissible but not beneficial. It is a hindrance to you stepping into your answer, your miracle, what God wants to do in your life. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And it is this spirit that helps us when we pray. Jesus said in John 16, beginning in verse 13, that the spirit of truth, he will guide us into all truth. He will speak not only on his own, he will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. You know, there are believers, they have no sobriety about the days we live in or what's ahead. Well, they're not living by the Spirit. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're not walking with him. Verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All the things that belong to us in Jesus Christ. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and he will make it known to you. And what is one of the major ways in which the Holy Spirit does this? It is in prayer. And this is why the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. But it's also why Satan, the enemy, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, it's why Satan wants to do everything that he can to get us into the flesh and not living by the Spirit, not being led by the Spirit, not praying by the Spirit. And Paul deals with this in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do. We all say it this way, you do not get, you do not receive, you do not walk in what you want. And this right here is where most believers live. They live a little by the Spirit, but a whole lot by the flesh. And there is a war, there is a battle within them, and that's why there's no progress. And that's why there's no answered prayer. And that's why there's no miracles. And I understand that we live in a time, we live in a culture where out there in the world, but also out there in Christendom, the standards have been set really low. I mentioned that yesterday. I'm just a work in progress. Well, yeah, we're all to be a work in progress, but if there's no progress after 10 years, there's a problem. Remember being once at lunch with our family on a Sunday, and Samuel was real little at that point, and he finished eating, and I took him to help him wash his hands and go to the bathroom with him, and walking back, and there was a young couple at the table next to us and must have been with a young adults minister, a minister of some kind. And he said, well, we all sin every day. My sins are just different than your sins. What a low standard. That's a life of defeat. That's not a life of victory. And no, I'm not saying that we're perfect, but we ought to be making progress. We ought to have victory over things that we struggled with last year. We ought to have the victory. But this is why most believers, they're not making progress. They're not walking in the victory that God has for them. They are in conflict, the spirit, the flesh, so that you do not do or get or receive what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. And somebody might say, well, Pastor Austin, you know, I'm not under law. I'm under grace. Well, that's only true if you live by the Spirit. And you can't be gratifying the sinful nature and say you're living by the Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So you have people that they heard somebody that twisted what Paul wrote, and Peter dealt with that. Peter said that even in his day, there were those that twisted the writings of the Apostle Paul to their own destruction. Well, you know, and they're living a sinful life. They're living a fleshly life. Well, you know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. That's only true, according to Paul in Galatians 5 and Romans 8, if you live by the Holy Spirit. And you can't say you're living by the Spirit if you're living by the flesh. Verse 24, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified. That means put to death the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in sync with the Spirit. Let us keep in alignment with the Spirit. And how can we do that if we don't have time set aside for the Word of God every day? How can we do that if we don't have time set aside for prayer every day? How can we say that we're living by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, in sync with the Spirit, and in alignment with the Spirit if the last time we prayed was when there was an emergency? That's not God's best. He wants us to live at a level beyond that. Galatians 5, verse 25, tells us that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. The Living Bible says, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Amplified Bible says, Galatians 5, 25, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled or directed by the Spirit. See, as I said yesterday, he's my counselor. You know, I remember when I first got to college a long time ago, 2000. I remember meeting students over at TCU, and a whole lot of people were telling me about seeing their psychologist. Their therapist. Well, I had no idea that it would be way worse in 2024. Heard this weekend, mom telling another mom about her little guy had a therapist. I thought only old people that were, you know, an emotional wreck had a therapist. Well, apparently little children have therapists now. The Holy Spirit is my counselor. And He is to be the conductor of our lives, walking in line, our conduct controlled or directed by the Spirit. I know the young people like all kinds of music, but if you picture Bass Hall, and you picture classical music, and you picture an orchestra, there's a conductor directing. And see, the Holy Spirit of God is to be the conductor directing our lives, giving us guidance as to what notes come next. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth to deal about another kind of issue, but see, you might say, well, the music of my life has been awful, it has been horrendous, it is because the Holy Spirit of God has not been orchestrating and conducting the course of your life. So you got to get in sync, got to get in alignment, got to line your life up with Him. The Holy Spirit will help us in prayer, and the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. And if we will cooperate and be led, the Holy Spirit will help us give birth not only to our God-given dreams and desires, but also to what God wants to do in our lives, His perfect will. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, and one of the ways He helps us in prayer is by painting a picture, a portrait, a vision of what God wants to do in our lives. So what are you dreaming about? What are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? And if you need help winning the battle of the mind, I would encourage you to listen to Pastor's message, Mind Games. Man told me Sunday that he's listened to it 17 times. Another man told me last night he's listened to it at 9 times. But see, why is the mind, why is our thought life so important? Why is what we dream about or meditate on so important? Because it's what we're giving birth to. It's what we're giving birth to. And somebody might say, I don't know about that. That seems a little spiritual for me. Well, it's what we see in the Word. Whether you like it or not, it's what we see in the Word of God. And see, when we're thinking about things that are contrary to the Word of God, we think about things that are carnal or fleshly, or we think about things that are failure, lies of the enemy. We're not living by the Spirit. We're living by the enemy. We're living by the flesh. We're living by the enemy. And so we're to switch gears and get in alignment and live led by the Spirit. What do you envision for your life? Now, why has the Lord led me down this road for today and Wednesday and Thursday? It's because Pastor has challenged us to believe God to double in 2024. And you might say that's hard, that's difficult, that's impossible. Well, I thought we served the Almighty God. I thought we served the Almighty God. And so Pastor has thrown down the gauntlet of faith that God wants us to double in every way, in every area, but our weight. Amen. But do we believe it? Do we receive it? Are we in agreement? See, it's in the Old Testament that says, have faith in the Lord your God and have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. Do we believe it? Do we receive it? Are we in agreement? And the challenge that we face in our praying, the challenge we face in our confession, and the challenge we face in our action, it is unbelief. Now, Pastor and I have both taught that when Jesus faced unbelief in his hometown of Nazareth, and as a result, the Bible says he was unable to do any mighty miracles there, Jesus had a solution. Mark 6, verse 6 says he went round about the villages teaching. Teaching what? God's word. Teaching. And why did he do that? Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We also see in the New Testament that another cure for unbelief is prayer and fasting. Why fasting? Fasting puts the flesh under, and it helps us to walk by the Spirit, by faith, not by the flesh. And Sunday night and last night, Pastor mentioned a word fast. What's the idea? It's to be selective in what we watch, what we see, what we listen to. That's another way of putting the flesh under. Pastor has challenged us to double. But do we believe it? Do we receive it? Are we in agreement? And so today and Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to deal with lifting up our eyes and believing God for the impossible. And with that, one of the things that happens as we spend time in the Word and in prayer, led by the Holy Spirit, he gives us divine ideas. He gives us wisdom. He gives us direction. But it doesn't happen if we don't spend time in the Word and time in prayer. And so we have to refocus and retask ourselves with what matters because time goes by. I know we all, young people, they don't feel like time goes by. For those of us that are older, time goes by. And as you get older, it goes by even faster. The impossible is possible. So what we have to do is lift up our eyes and believe God for the impossible. You know, we can be hard on Thomas. We can be hard on Peter. But Peter was the only disciple willing to get out of the boat and to walk on the water with Jesus, which we all know to be impossible. And if you're not sure, just try that later today, and it's cold, and you'll find out. And we know the story. Peter began to sink when he no longer focused on Jesus. We could say it this way. He began to sink when he no longer focused on the Word, and he began to focus on the storm, the wind, and the waves. And Jesus said unto Peter, O ye of little faith. When I was preparing this, I thought of our good friend Lynn Mink, who has gone on to be with the Lord. He had a song about this. And I'm not going to sing it to you. That's not one of my gifts from God. But he would sing in the song, come on and walk on the water with me. And then the song went on, you will not fail, you will not fail, you will not fail. And see, as Pastor dealt with last night, see, Satan's whispering in our ear. He's painting us a picture of failure. You will fail, you will fail, you can't. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. So see, we have to put the flesh under to drown out his voice in our lives and live a life where we're living by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, praying by the Spirit, turning down the volume on the things of this world and turning up the volume on the things of God so that the voice in our lives is not the voice of the enemy or the voice of the flesh. It is the voice of God. You can, you will. Sooner than you think, all things are possible. We sink and we fail and we do without when we get our eyes off Jesus and his word and our focus becomes the storms and the circumstances of life. And that's where Satan wants us to live our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus was transfigured, meaning the glory of God, the glory of Father God came upon him, and he was there that happened while Peter, James, and John were with them. The same time, down below, a father brought a demon-possessed child to the other nine disciples. And if you read about that, the disciples failed to cast the devil out. Mark 9, beginning in verse 22, Father said to Jesus once he came down, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. Now, Jesus at this point, he had not yet given his life. He had not yet died on the cross. He had not yet paid the price so that this man could be a part of the family of God. But Jesus said to him, all things are possible for him who believes. Well, if all things are possible for an unsaved man without the filling of the Holy Spirit, if he will simply believe God, what is possible for you and me as born again men and women filled with the Spirit if we will believe God and if we will believe his word? See, we have a dream, we have a desire, something we're praying about, something we're believing God for. And over time, you have the cares, the concerns, the worries, the circumstances, the storms of life. So inevitably, we let go of things. And Satan, he's always whispering in our ears, painting that picture of failure. So we let go of things. And so we have to remind ourselves that all things are possible for the man or woman who will believe God. And if unsaved men and women can do it, can't we do it as saved men and women? Can't we do it as men and women with the filling of the Holy Spirit? All things are possible for him who believes. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, will be yours." The King James, "What things soever you desire." When you pray, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Pastor has challenged us to double. And all things are possible for the man or woman who believes God. But this is precisely why we must cooperate with and be led by the Holy Spirit in prayer. When there is a need or desire, we are to pray and ask once in faith. We are to pray and ask one time in faith. Then from that point forward, we are to believe we receive until we have the manifestation. But that can take time. And sometimes some things take more time than others. And that's when Satan shows up with doubt and unbelief and temptation. And that is why we must live every day by the Spirit, not by the flesh, to win the battle of the mind, to win the battle of the mouth, to win the battle of the heart, to win the battle of the Spirit versus the flesh. And we have a great example in the Word of God, and that is in the life of Abraham. Abraham had a specific, definite promise. Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And there are so many lessons that can be learned from the life of Abraham. He immediately obeyed God. Verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. That was his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So God gave him a command. God gave him a promise. And Abraham instantly obeyed. Then God spoke to him again. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Verse 4 tells us that Abram at this point was 75 years old. We know from reading later, his wife Sarai was 10 years younger, so she was 65. Now I'm getting older, but I think we can all agree that at this point in their lives, Abram and Sarai were both older. Amen? And you might say, well, Adam lived a long time, and there was this guy named Methuselah. But in Genesis chapter 6, due to wickedness, God had limited man's years to just 120 years. So Abram at 75 was starting to push it a little bit. We be in agreement? Abram was 75, Sarai was 65, yet God had said, to your offspring, I will give this land. This is the impossible. And in fact, it's so impossible, it would seem to be ridiculous. But this is the exact kind of thing our Heavenly Father delights in doing. You see, if it's not really special or miraculous, how do we know it didn't come by the strength of men? God delights in doing the difficult. God delights in doing the hard. God delights in doing the impossible. If they had not had children yet at the age of 75 and 65, how could they have children now? How could an old man and an old woman become a mother and father at this stage of their lives? Yet Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, all things are possible for him who believes. 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 And you're probably thinking, yeah, but. And that's what Pastor's been talking about. You know, the junk of life, all the things we've watched and listened to and seen, all the religious things we've heard, all the religious things we've seen on social media. Yeah, but. But Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. All things are possible for the man or the woman who believes God. All things are possible. And not this. Well, maybe God can heal this, but God sure can't heal that because that's really hard and that's really difficult. See, we limit God, and we limit God by our doubt and by our unbelief and by our naysaying. All things are possible to him who believes. Abraham had a specific, definite promise. It seemed impossible. But praise God, the Holy Spirit, our helper, he helps us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in what we are praying and believing God for. As Paul says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Genesis 13, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, there's another lesson there. Again, yesterday, there are hindrances in our lives. And we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in separating from hindrances. The Lord said to Abram after Lot parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are. And see, that's what I'm challenging you to do today and tomorrow and Thursday, to lift up your eyes, to lift up your eyes. And see, you might say, well, I'm believing God for this and I'm believing God for that. It seems hard. It seems difficult. Not only does he want to do those things, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. And that's not Austin telling you that. That's the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, telling you that. And so when we get in sync with the Holy Spirit and we're led by the Spirit and we're spending time in the Word and in prayer led by the Spirit of God, one of the things that he helps us to do is to lift up our eyes. And yes, we're believing God for this and that. And it's all fine. It's all wonderful. But God wants to do so much more. Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west, all the land that you see. And see, people say that vision is not important. People say that what we meditate on and think about or what we watch is not important. People say that the pictures and the images that we look at are not important. But see, there are these principles all through the Word of God, and they're there and they work whether you acknowledge them or not. And they're work, as Pastor dealt with last night, the principles of God are working for you in the positive or in the negative. Somebody might say, well, what I think about doesn't matter, and what I watch doesn't matter, and filling my life with filth doesn't matter. But see, that's a carnal person. That's a fleshly person. And I guarantee you, their life is a life of defeat. Their life is a life that is not blessed by God. They couldn't pray their way out of a paper bag. They have exactly what they meditate on, which are the things of this world. Carnal, fleshly things. And God has so much more. God wants to do so much more. All the land that you see. See, religion would want us to feel bad about seeing something nice and desiring it. Well, God. You know, you always have to talk in the right tone. God. He wants you to have your need, but not your want or desire. He's the Almighty God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. It may be a big deal to you, it may be expensive to you, but it's not expensive to God. And see, our eyes, our mind, and our imagination can be used for evil, but our eyes, our mind, our imagination, our thought life can be used for good. And who gave us these gifts? Almighty God, to use for good and not for evil. You know, when we time goes by and we're blessed and we take these things for granted. I remember being a little guy and I would dread Sunday afternoons. I love the Lord. I love church. I love to come and praise the Lord and worship, but I was not a fan of Sunday afternoons. And the reason I was not a fan of Sunday afternoons is because we'd do church, we'd eat lunch, and then my parents would drive my sister and I around all afternoon to look at homes. Boring. I didn't understand until I'm now in this age. That's exciting. More room. Room where children do not have to share. Sharing's a good thing. Amen. But it's nice if everybody has their own space. But see, what were my parents doing? They were lifting up their eyes. They were believing God for better. They were believing God for room. They were believing God for the dreams and desires of their heart. And, you know, somewhere in that, you know, as a little guy, I thought, you know, and if you ask me today, do you like fishing? It's not my thing. I'll do it for Samuel. Amen. I'll pray that J.J. Ramirez goes with us to help him out. But as a little guy, it was just within me. I told my parents, well, it'd be great if we lived at a place where I could go out the back door and go fishing. Well, see, that's more expensive. And that's not everywhere in every neighborhood. You understand? But see, dreams and desires that are good and godly and righteous, that's not from the devil. That's not from the devil. I said, that's not from the devil. That's not from the devil, amen. So see, we got to set all that nonsense aside. Who is our God? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Who is our God? All that you see. But what have we been seeing? What have we been watching? What have we been meditating on? All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. See, what was God doing? He was painting a picture for Abram. He was painting something for him to envision, to see by faith, to dwell on, to meditate on. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. You ought to be able to picture that in your mind, like the dust of the earth. Later it says, like the sand on the seashore, like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. You might see the news and wonder what all that's going on in the Middle East about. It's about this, and it's about God's promise to Abram. That land belongs to his natural descendants. And that's what the issue is about. And that's what the fighting is about. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Another lesson, he was a man of worship. He was a man of sacrifice. Whatever the need, whatever the dream or desire in your heart, it may seem to be impossible. But the Lord says, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. And yes, in your Bible, you should make a list of the things that you're praying about and believing God for. And as pastor's been teaching, have the scriptures that go with the things that you're praying God for and asking God for and believing God for. But not only does he want to do those things, he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. He wants to do greater. He wants to do bigger. He wants to do more wonderful. He wants to do more awesome. So lift up your eyes. Say this, say, I will lift up my eyes. We have all these ways. It's not just the devil. You know, pastor, we dealt with Sunday. Satan uses people. It's people representing them. You can't, you won't, you're not tall enough, you're not fast enough, you're not big enough. All of these things. All things are possible for the man or the woman who believes God. Yeah, But see, there's doubt, and there's unbelief, and there's the voice of the enemy. Lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. And one of the ways that he helps us in prayer is by painting a picture, a vision of what God wants to do in our lives. Verse 15, all the land you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Yeah, I remember once Jessica and I were dating, and you know, at that point I've been blessed all my life, but it's because my parents walk the blessing of God. But I remember Jessica and I were dating, and I think we were engaged at that point, and she wanted to just test drive a particular kind of car. So I said, well, you know, let's go to the dealership and see if you can test drive. They wouldn't let us test drive the car. They wouldn't let us test drive the car. Today, I wouldn't darken the door if somebody paid me. All things are possible for the man or the woman who believes God. All that you can see, all that you can see, all that you can see. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. So you young people, you have to form a picture, and it ought to be a picture directed by God. What has God called you to do with your life? What has God gifted you and given you talents to do? What are your dreams and desires? See, if you have a definite picture, then when life brings you alternates that are not God's best, you'll know that it's not God's best and you can say no. See, if you form a picture of the godly spouse that God has for you, when Satan lines up alternates, you'll know that's not God's best and you can say no. But see, if we're not living by the Spirit and we're not living by the Word and we're living by the flesh, then the picture we have is not God's picture. It is a carnal picture. It is a worldly picture. It is a fleshly picture. And that's how we end up with less than God's best. All the land that you will see, I give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, your offspring could be counted. Again, this was an old man. He had a wife who was younger, but she was still old too. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. What God told Abram reminds me of Isaiah 54, beginning in verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. You know, I think last year I did my first camp out with Samuel. And for that, we're busy. So didn't really plan in advance. So for that first camp out, borrowed a tent from Jessica's brother. And she's like, you need to set that up in advance so you don't look like a fool. You're not embarrassed. You kind of look like you do know what you're doing. Set it up at home, living room, which should have been my sign. It's not big enough. And she said, you know, I think you're going to need a bigger tent. I thought, no, we're good. Don't want to be wasteful, right? So get out here, get it all set up, you know, sweaty, all that. I go to lay down that night, and my head is touching the back of the tent, and my feet are like pushing through. Like I felt like we're going to break the fabric by morning. But see, if we're camped out in a small tent, that's not God's fault. That's not your parents' fault. You'd be like, I'm blaming them now. Well, in 10 years, you can't still be blaming mom and dad. For the older people here, that's not your husband's fault, your wife's fault. God wants us to expand our vision. And there's nothing wrong with bigger and with better. And there's nothing wrong with what is impossible. Enlarge the place of your tent. And actually, this brings pleasure to God. Plenty, more than enough, room, stretching your tent. These things bring pleasure to Almighty God. The Bible says that he delights in the prosperity, the blessing of his servants. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, and one of the ways he helps us is by painting a picture, a vision of what God wants to do in our lives. All things are possible to him who believes. Whatever you are believing God for, stop limiting God. You might say, that's not possible. It's not possible to limit God. It is. The Bible says, Psalm 78, 41, they turned back and they limited the Holy One of Israel. It is possible to limit God. And it is possible by, we'll see tomorrow, by our own doubt and our unbelief to delay the promises and blessings of God in our life. And you delay them long enough, it's no longer your time. It's the time of the next generation. Stop limiting God. Believe God for bigger. Believe God for greater. Believe God for the impossible. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. All that you can see, God will give to you. All that you can see in the Word of God as belonging to you, He will give to you. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take of everything that belongs to Jesus Christ from the Father, and He will make these things available to us. Say this, say, I will take possession.
I will take possession.
Say it again, say, I will take possession.
I will take possession.
Say, by faith,
I will have
what belongs to me. Say,
by faith,
I will have God's best and God's perfect will for my life. Now, where are we going to head tomorrow? Abram had a definite, specific promise, but it was slow coming to pass. So Abram did what we so often do. He resorted to the flesh. See, God has given us promises in His Word, and they belong to us in Christ. And some things can happen quickly, but there are things that we're praying about, believing God for, and the promise can seem slow in coming to pass. And what's the mistake that we can make? Like Abram, we resort to the flesh. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your hand of blessing upon each and every person here today. Heavenly Father, my heart's desire is that You would move, and You would move mightily and powerfully in the hearts and lives, especially of all these young people, that Your presence by the Holy Spirit would be real to them, that they would hear You, that they would hear the still small voice of Your Spirit. And I thank You in all of our lives. We ask that yesterday You would put on our hearts those in our midst, in our families, in the congregation that we need to pray for, that we need to intercede for. We asked yesterday that You would move in our hearts by Your Spirit things in our lives that are displeasing to You, hindrances that need to be dealt with and removed from our lives. We thank You for that. But I thank You for today, Heavenly Father, by Your Spirit, reminding us of things that we have given up on, dreams and desires and prayer requests that we have let go of as being impossible. And we come into alignment and sync with the Holy Spirit, and we fan into flame and stir up those things that we have let go of. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for by Your Spirit helping us to lift up our eyes and once again believe, as Jesus said, that all things are possible for the man or woman who believes You and believes Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.